person to your right, say, welcome to church. Tell the person, I'm happy to see your face. Appreciate something about the person. If the person is not smiling at me, you have not spoken well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Will you permit me to remove these? Hey, Joe. Thank God for my wife. Okay, I will try. I'm not used to all the agbadas are in the house and my children are picking them one after the other. Praise the Lord. We have limited time this afternoon, but I want you to please be patient. You know, last Sunday of the month, usually we stay longer than the normal service because of all the ministrations. And like I say to people, it will not be good for us to come and relax, and then we get blessed, and it comes to the word of God, we are rushing. Even God himself will not be happy that when it comes to his word, we are now using 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then we are trying to rush. So I think the major reason why we are here is because of God's word. And so I'd like you to be patient and open your heart to receive from God this morning. And I'm believing God that God will bless you in the precious name of Jesus. You know, I'm a very gentle pastor. I like things to run. And sometimes when, if time is going, we believe God that we'll be able to make up. And then I just watch and I pray. And thank God my father is not around. If he's around, I will not watch. I will not pray. I will take action. You understand what I'm talking about? All right. Praise the Lord. So everyone that is ministering, please, please help us. If you have 10 minutes, stick to your 10 minutes. If it is 15 minutes, stick to your 15 minutes, because this service, we are time conscious in this service. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning, by the grace of God, I want to minister on what I've entitled, Hindrances to Rest. Hindrances to Rest. Let's look at some couple of scriptures and then we take off from there. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 40. We'll read Numbers 13, 40. But God will not fail us. Somebody say, my God will not fail me. Oh, praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, 24. The Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed shall possess what? Possess it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9 to verse number 11. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 9 to verse number 11. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse number 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Lest any man falls after the same example of unbelief. Now let's look at that Numbers chapter 14. It should be verse 38. Numbers 14, verse 38. Thank you. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. They lived still. Give us verse 39. Is it up to 39? And Moses told this saying unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now, Joshua lived still. If you look at that scripture from verse 1, you discover that the other 10 spies did not make the promised land. But Joshua made the promised land. Why? Because of certain reasons, with certain things that he did. Now, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 15. The Preacher chapter number 10, verse number 15. The labor of the foolish willeth every one of them. Why? Because he knoweth not how to go to the city. He knoweth not how to get to the city. Now, because of time, let me just go straight to my discussion this morning. Let's look at four or maybe three hindrances to rest. Four or three hindrances to rest. Number one is lack of purpose. Lack of purpose. Lack of purpose. The scripture says, the labor of the foolish willeth every one of them. Why? Because they knoweth not how to get to the city. Lack of purpose. The labor of a man without purpose will never end in rest. Any man that lacks purpose in what he is doing, such a man will never end in rest. No matter what you do in life, no matter what you are doing presently, if what you are doing lacks purpose, if it lacks direction, it will end you nowhere. So purpose is important if you must get to your place of rest. Without definition, there can be no destination. So there must be definition. You must understand what you are doing. You must understand the reason why you are doing what you are doing. Except you are definite about what you are doing, except there is a definition, you might not get to your destination. Now, God's servant, our father, Reverend Yemi Graceman Adloju, made two profound statements sometimes ago while he was speaking to us. He said, if you don't know where you are going, everywhere will look like it. If you don't know where you are going, everywhere will look like it. If you don't know where you are going also, people will take you to where they are going. Where they are going might not be your own direction, might not be your own destination. But because you don't know where you are going, you will be a follower of people who are going to their own direction or to their destination. So in Numbers chapter 14 that we read, Joshua understood purpose. He understood purpose. Numbers 14, 24. The scripture made us to understand that he followed fully. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, he followed fully. He understood purpose. He was not distracted. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he was doing. So he followed fully. That is a man that understands purpose. A man that understands purpose follows fully. He understood purpose and he followed fully. Those who do not understand purpose did not enter their rest. The scripture says they did not make it. They did not make it to the land that God promised them because they did not understand purpose. While they were saying the land that we went to spy is too big. I mean, that land we cannot be able to conquer. Why they were saying that the giants there are greater. We can't conquer that land. Caleb had another spirit. He understood purpose, that if it is God that is sending us, it does not matter how tall the giant may be. It does not matter how difficult the land may look like. It does not matter the barricade. It does not matter the blockage. I know that because it is God that is sending us, we will take this land. He understood purpose. So I said to you this morning that the greatest tragedy of life is not death. It's a man without purpose. It's a man without purpose. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. Proverbs 29 verse number 18. He said, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So people give up easily where purpose is not understood or clear. The reason why so many people give up on their dreams, give up on their pursuit in life, is because they don't understand purpose. Purpose. People die where there is no vision. What keeps a man running? What keeps a man standing is purpose, vision. So where there is no vision, the people perish. People die where there is no vision. So a life without purpose is a wasted life. A life without purpose will never find rest. Let me remind you this morning again. Let me remind you again that your purpose is the justification for your living. Your purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5. The word of God says, before I formed thee in the belly of the I knew thee. I knew thee. He said, before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and did what? And ordained thee a priest unto the nation. So there was purpose before he came. He understood purpose before he came. He understood what he came or what he is coming to do. God showed him. He got the language. He understood what he was coming to do. God ordained him a priest. God sanctified him a prophet unto nations. So he is a prophet. He came as a prophet. So where there is no purpose, you are not living. You are merely existing where there is no purpose. You can't be in a department. You can't be in a church. You can't be in your workplace and you are there not understanding purpose. Hear me, you will not matter in that place where you are. You won't matter, sir. You will not be important to people around you if you don't understand purpose. So you can be in a marriage, you can be in the church, you can be in your workplace. But with that purpose, you are just existing. You are not living. It takes a man that understands purpose to go beyond existing and living. Purpose. So there is an assignment. There is a mission. There is a duty that God has created you to fulfill. And so your energy and your time, your resources, what happens? Your labor goes into it. But if you don't understand purpose and you are exerting energy, you are putting more energy, you are putting your resources, you are giving your time, at the end you will discover that you have run in vain. There are people who are running life in vain. That's why you see somebody, he gets an admission, he takes a course. And after 1 year, he's changing the course. Later again, he's changing course. Don't understand purpose. Don't understand purpose. So, what do you want out of life? Purpose is important. What do you want out of that marriage? Why do you want to be married? Why are you getting married? We ask these questions to people who come for counseling. Only a few, maybe 2% is able to tell us why they want to be married. Some want to be married because their friends are getting married. Some want to be married because time is against them, so anything that comes, I accept. Why are you getting married? Some are getting married because they just love the appearance of the person. Maybe the woman or was speaking in a wedding ceremony yesterday. I said some people are getting married Because of what? Because of Backard and Manchester. And I said to them, the days when Backards are real has gone. People now wear Backard before they leave their houses. Am I making sense this morning? People wear Manchester, and when they want to sleep, they remove it. So if you are marrying because of that, may you not shimari. Is that the reason why you want to be married? There are people who married Backard, and Backard has carried them away. I was talking to somebody and I said, what is the description of the person you want to marry? You know, if you come to me for counsel, I will ask you different questions. What is the description? He said, I just want somebody that is light in complexion, that has Backard. I want somebody that is robust. I want to call for lepa. This one said, I want somebody that is robust. So he has been looking for Backard and robust. And purpose is passing him. His eyes is closed because he is not after purpose. Purpose is passing. And eventually, he got Backard and Manchester at the expense of his ministerial destiny. See, when you are looking for who to marry, especially, there are certain things you must consider. You must consider purpose. What has God called you to do? What has He called you to do? If God has called you to be a minister, then purpose should tell you that whoever you are looking for should fall in that line. It should be somebody that should back you up. A woman said to me, he said, me and my husband, we didn't bargain for this. I said, what? He said, my husband never told me that he's going to be a pastor. And I didn't marry a pastor. And I'm leaving him. Except he will leave his job as a pastor and come and stay with me and start something else. He said his mates are doing business and they are making it. Why is he dying in the place of a pastor? And he's not making it. Who told you pastors are not making it? But you see, sometimes I don't blame the woman, because the man did not explain to the woman purpose. Marriage is not about the physique. It's not about the physical appearance. It's more than that. What did I say? It's more than that. Marriage is more than that. Some people are married today and they are regretting getting married. Purpose. You must explain purpose. You must let her, let him know your vision. That is how you will end in rest in your marital destiny. When my wife came, I didn't even have an idea that I was going to be a pastor, but I was serving God. But I said to her, God has not spoken yet, but I know that my destination is pastoring. So know now. And begin to walk towards it. I said, God has not called me to be full time. I have not heard him. I don't want to hear him. We have agreed that I will serve him like a full time pastor. Said that to my Almighty God, and he's too faithful. I will work as a full-time, even when I was not a pastor, as an house church leader, I work full-time. Sometimes I don't get home until 9. from church to visit those who I did not see in church who are under my jurisdiction. Visit them, invite them to house church fellowship. When they come, the ones I did not see, I will go back again to visit them, pray with them. And sometimes if I get home, it's like 8, 9. So I've been walking like that because I understood purpose. I understood purpose. So understanding purpose delivers people from wrong companionship and relationship. Some people are married wrongly and they are not experiencing rest in their marriages because they did not understand purpose. So it helps you, it delivers you from wrong companionship and relationships. You will know who to marry and who to associate with when purpose is understood. I'd like you to understand this. You want to have rest? You must understand purpose. Why are you doing what you are doing? Why do you want to do what you want to do? Why do you want to marry that person? Why do you want to take up that job? Why are you going to study that course? You must understand purpose. Not everyone is qualified to be your friend. But if you don't understand purpose, everybody will be your friend. Including those that does not understand purpose. Including those that will destroy purpose. They will be your friends. Not everybody is marriable. If there's any English like that. What I'm saying is that it's not everybody you can marry. If you understand purpose. So find that purpose before you marry. You are in a relationship, find that purpose. What is the vision of that brother? What is the vision of that sister? Find that purpose. You are married, you have children. Ask them purpose. Let them tell you their vision. Help them align. Let them tell you the purpose of doing what they are doing or why they want to do what they are doing so that you can guide them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Proverbs 13, 20. The NIV translation, Proverbs 13, 20. Okay, let's take King James, then we'll go to NIV. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So there are companions of fools that are fools. Give us the NIV. NIV. NIV says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffer harm. Walk with the wise, you become wise. A companion of fools suffer harm. In Daniel chapter 2, verse number 17 and 18. Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Daniel's friends were men of purpose. And men who understood times and seasons. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He had companions. Who are your companions? Verse number 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. These men understood times and seasons. These were the companions of Daniel. Who are your companions? Who do you go to for advice concerning your work? Who do you go to for advice? Somebody said to me, and I believe him. He said, if you want to be rich, don't take an advice from a poor man. Don't take an advice from a poor man. A poor man will only tell you 100 reasons. A poor man will tell you 100 reasons why he is poor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You know, sometimes we live on without eating. So it's normal sometimes. I remember I was, those days we, I still play football. Don't laugh. So I did not eat. And I was standing, ball was coming. I was to head the ball. So as the ball was coming, I was looking at the ball. And I went down. And they carried me. Not that anything happened to me. It was just I was dizzy. So we have told them that anytime you feel, please just give a sign to somebody to take over from you. But sometimes, you know, women, we just want to say, I will carry on, I will finish. It is well. The Lord is your strength. In the name of Jesus. So who are your companions? Your purpose in life will influence who you partner with. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody this morning. Because some of us, we are wrongly associated. Wrong association. And it's affecting us. We take counsel from them concerning our marriage. We take counsel from them concerning our home, concerning our work, concerning our businesses. There are people who appear as friends to you and they're the one that is killing you. They're the one that is causing trouble in your home. There are people you are close to. In fact, they give you advice, but behind they are killing you. Wrong association. So your purpose in life will influence who you are. I know my purpose. I cannot just relate with anybody. I can't relate with anybody. In fact, I watch you for a season and I discover that maybe you are no longer on the path and advice and you ask, I will drop you. I know how to just leave the person. And we will not fight. And we will still be greeting ourselves. So your assignment will determine your alignment in life. What is your assignment? Let me also remind you that the purpose of redemption is to serve. Purpose of redemption is to serve. You are saved to serve. God's servant, Reverend Yemi, just told us. Some of us, you've been coming to church. You say you are a Christian. Hear me. One purpose, one reason why you are a Christian is to serve Him. Not to sit in church doing nothing for God. Not to come to church and be blessed by God and you are not willing or ready to serve Him. You are saved to serve. You want to find rest, you want to find fulfillment in life, and you are a Christian, please serve. Those who serve find rest. In Luke chapter 1, you read from verse 9 to verse number 13, you remember Zechariah. Zechariah was doing his work for the Lord. The wife Elizabeth was barren, but his news came to him in the place of service. God saw service, and God came visiting. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, Elisha's service made a way for him in ministry. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 11. He made a way for him. He said, but Joseph said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was serving Elijah. No wonder when it was time for fire to fall, Elisha received the double portion of Elijah's anointing. Service. He found rest in ministry because he served. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 and 26, a popular scripture. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread. May your bread be blessed. Amen. I say, may your bread be blessed. Amen. And thy water, may God bless your water. Amen. And I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. This one comes to a man that is serving. His bread is blessed. His water is blessed. So I say to you this morning, please serve the Lord. Serve God. You have stayed in lighthouse for too long not to serve. Which department do you belong to? What are you doing for God? We have several departments. Some just minister to us. Which one do you belong to? What will God say to you when you come to him in the time of rest? What will you say to God that for the years that you have been born again, what will you tell him that you have done for him? You want rest, and this rest comes from God. I said to people, I said, when we need anything, we grunt to God. We ask God. God, we pray to God. But why is it difficult for you to serve him? He's always asking for your service. Why is it difficult for you to serve him? Why do you run to him to ask for things from him when you know you are not ready to serve him? Serve the Lord. Serve in God's house. Serve your employers where you work. Don't kill the business of your guy. Don't squander his money, because very soon you also have your own business. And God will position those that will squander your money. It's a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed, sir. So you are working for somebody and you are here and you are a Christian and you are changing figures. Very soon they will change your own figures. No, it's not prayer. Is scripture. Whatsoever you sow, that you shall reap. So you won't rest in your own business. Serve your master well. You are married, and your eye is still looking at other small, small girls. It's a seed. Somebody messed up girls. And now God started blessing him with girls. And he's doing like this. I say, oh God, wait till they cover. You know, God is a wonderful God. Okay, you are messing. Okay, what be more? Girls. One, girl. Two, girl. Three, girl. Four. He's looking for boy. Girl. I want to create one. You are married. Why? What is it? I've said it before. I will repeat myself. We'll keep on repeating ourselves until the person that we hear well. What is so special in these other women that your wife does not have? I still cannot understand. I don't understand. What is it that you want that you can't get in your own wife, that you are messing around? And some are not even married, but they are messing around. And you say you are a Christian, you are born again. It's a seed. You mess people up, they will soon mess you up. It's a what? You steal your other money, they will still steal your money. It's a seed. Serve your community. Number two, hindrance to rest is secret sin. I intentionally said secret sin because Christians don't commit sin openly. Am I correct? Abby? We don't commit sin openly. I'm hiding that he committed. And then we come to church on Sunday and we lift up holy hands. And then we prostrate at tomorrow. But you wrote on. Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13. Now, we're talking about rest this morning. And today is the last day we are talking about rest. So let's hear it very well. Psalm 19, verses 12 and 13. Who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from what? Secret faults. Another translation says secret sin. Verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also for presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Innocent. So that I can have rest. So that I can be innocent from the damnation that is coming. Do you know that the world will come to an end? Whether you agree or not, it will come. If the trumpet does not blast, it will blast individually. When you finish your own sojourn here on earth, God will take you away. That is it. So the psalmist is saying, cleanse me from these secret sins so that when I come before you, I will have rest. Somebody here, you will have rest. Secret sins are major hindrances to rest. In fact, it's even dangerous. It's dangerous. I don't understand Christianity of today. In our journey in Christianity, even up till now, if we err or we discover that we have committed sin, we don't come near this place. We are not confident to carry microphone. In fact, those days, some pastors will tell Reverend, when we started, Rev, Ejo, me fesh anything, then Ejo, kilo shele, motiche, I confess before you. But today, somebody is coming from under the bosom and is coming straight to the church and is carrying microphone and is not feeling anything. Secret sin. You hide. You are a lady. You sleep around. And you say you are a Christian and you are a worker. And you still come to church to walk. Walk where? Walk how? Secret sin can kill a relationship. It can kill marriages. It can take you to hell. In fact, if you don't repair it, it will take you to hell. I don't know who I'm talking about this morning, but I'd like you to understand that there is no hiding place before God. There is no what? Am I speaking this morning? It's like you are cool. Or are you angry with me? There are some marriages that can no longer hold. Why? The problem is secret sin. Either from the man or from the woman. You are keeping secret from your wife. You are keeping secret from your husband. You are misbehaving. And you think one day your spouse will not find out? We'll find out. I'm telling you. How the person will find out, you don't have to know. Oma, find out, yeah? You know, God, someone was speaking to us some time ago. He said, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. When you see a man that loses confidence before his wife, Otishe, Kole Soromo, Kole Sorodada, his words will not make sense. Have you seen that kind of man before? O mama kalulu abi mo tin go Yoruba die je ba. O mama kalulu. In Luke chapter number 8 verse number 17, Luke chapter 8 verse 17. It says, for there is nothing hidden. Okay, K King James. He said, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Maybe I should be speaking Yoruba now in preaching messages. If you will stay with me till the end. So, what are the secret sins in your life? What are the temptations that you are going through that you can't tell your wife, that you can't tell your husband? What are the temptations you are going through in your place of work? Your boss is running after you and you can't tell your spouse and you are managing it. Oh, manager. To buy anything, it becomes unmanageable. Kino manageable in Yoruba, no? Elimo. Daddy. I don't want to say what they say so that. No. You know, there are some common secret sins. Some of them are lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Do you know there are people in church, as they are seated, they are already lusting after other people? Lust of the flesh. There are Christians that still watch pornographic and they are seated here this morning. God is speaking to you. Secret sins. You know what you do in the secret. You masturbate in the secret. You know what you do. Please open up. Speak out. It's killing you. It's killing you. You can't have rest that way. You are not supposed to continue like that. That is not what God ordained for you. Lust of the flesh. Lust for sex. Lust for money, for wealth. There are people lust for wealth have made them to do some silly things. Something happened in my environment where we live, and this young boy that grew up in my eyes, and before he said Jack Robinson, he has made money. I then labor. Otira moto rishi. And he invited his father to come and celebrate with him. And the father came. The father stayed day one, day two, day three. The father fell sick. And the father died. And he quickly arranged for the burial. Told them where they would bury the father. Gave them a land. They came, they buried the father. And he forgot about the father. That's the end. And money came. One year after. Not up to 1 year, a day to 1 year that the father died, the mother also died. What's happening there? Lust for wealth. The guy did not even cry. He said they should go and bury the mother beside where they buried the father. And he entered his car and he drove away. Owotunde. But one thing he forgot is that kind of wealth will never give him rest. Because I understand that sometimes even the house is built, one fantastic house, that in the night he finds it difficult to sleep. Is that rest? Lust for wealth. Don't envy anybody. I've been telling this to people. Don't envy anybody. Everybody has his way of doing his own thing. Never envy anybody. He bought a car. Ah, I must buy my own. I'm looking for a child. Ah, my neighbor has given birth. Oh, to be Obi Meta. I mean, I've been married for 5-6 years. And you want to go and take counsel from somebody that is not born again. And before you say Jack Robinson is taking you to one Baba at one Orioke. There are Christians who still visit prophets. You still go out of the light into darkness to look for solution. You can't find rest that way, sir. You can't find rest that way. Lost for power, for fame. You remember, God was telling us about a prophet that came to me and said, ah, we know what we can do for you, that your church will just blow. We are not after church to blow. It is your life that should blow spiritually. That's what God's servant is after, that God will show us mercy, that from among us, he will raise millionaires that we will see with our eyes and we know their testimonies. May God raise you. Amen. I say, may God raise you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, please be open and seek for help. There is no rest for a sinner. In marriage, there is no sacred secrets. No. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible said concerning Adam and Eve, the Bible says, and they were both naked and they were not ashamed. There was nothing secret about them. So if you are married today and you are keeping secret, you are endangering your marriage, because very soon it will affect that marriage. I've said to people that if it is coming from the man, if you break a woman's heart, it's difficult to mend the heart of a woman. Women are very soft. They are very soft when it comes to the nature of their heart. They can love you to a fault. But if you break their heart, especially when it has to do with secret sins that they discovered, you will overwork. Over time, Lumashe, for you to get that woman back. I'm telling you the truth. If it is the man that now discovered that the wife, am I wrong, Corinne? They don't waste time. The next thing they will say, carry your things and go and stay in your father's house until we resolve the matter. And when it happens like that, you know, marriage is gradually coming to an end. So you have to be very careful. You want rest? There is no secret in true marriage. If your marriage must be beautiful, don't hide things from each other. Don't hide things from each other. I keep on saying, why do you have to password your phone as a man? What are you keeping? Why is it that your wife cannot pick your calls? Kilo day? Why? Women, why are you passwording your phone? Why is it that your husband cannot pick your call? Why is it your husband cannot read your messages? What are you hiding? Kilo day no? You know why it's paining me? It's paining me because we have issues in marriage and it has to do with Christian marriages, Christian homes. It's rampant. Why can't you live a simple life with your wife? Why can't you live a simple life with your husband? Why can't you be free as husband and wife? Why can't you be open to each other? Kilo de? Why are you suffering yourself in that marriage? I've told you my testimony. Let me not boy with it. Let me just let you know that anything you are hiding from your spouse will hinder your progress and take away your confidence. That's also the truth. Number three, let me round off number three. Let me stop at number three. Number three is idleness. Hindrances to rest. Idleness. Being idle. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, that we read, the Bible says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Let us walk. The drama people told us that walk does not kill. But even when you are walking, you must also use wisdom to rest in your walk. Are you getting me? Because there are some men, I'm working, I want to make money. Legitimate money, not that they are doing anything. They will go to office as early as 8 in the morning. They don't close until 9. And they are the CEO. And they are coming back to the house, they pack files. I want to share two with Paris. They pack files and come home and sit on the bed. And they are still working. Want to be Shewale? And the wife is looking for you, trying to get your attention. No attention. Your work has become your second wife. You can't find rest in that woman. Your wife will deal with you indirectly, secretly, emotionally. You know what I'm talking about. So if you are idle, then you are lazy. I'm telling you, if you are idle, you are lazy. Idleness, one of the definitions of idleness is doing nothing. You are just doing nothing. It's not as if there's nothing, it's not as if there's something you cannot do. How would I put the English? There's something you can do, but you just decide not to do anything. Kosiche, or the joke only. There are works all over the place. Who told you that there is no job? It's laziness that is making a man to sit in the house and waiting for the wife to feed him. Laziness, idleness near. Can I tell you one truth this morning? Can I tell you? Let me tell you one truth this morning. Women are not wired to carry responsibilities. They are not wired to carry responsibilities. God did not create them to carry the burden. God created them to support. So when you now leave the responsibility to the woman, one day the woman will cry out, it's normal. It's not her job. It's not her work. You, the man, you are the one with the responsibility to take care of your home. Your wife is to support. And if you're a good man, your wife will support you. If you are a bad man, your wife will hide things from you. So you want your wife to be open to you, be good to your wife. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Please listen. This is the word of God. Let this word change you. So how can you have rest doing nothing? There is something you can do. I told you when there was no work after school, there was no work. I told you the kind of jobs I did. I cannot afford to stay idle. There are jobs that I can do. I have worked in a site. I have carried pompon on my head. I have carried blocks on my head. I have worked as a houseboy. From there, I was trained as a cook. I begged them, can I do security night guard? They said, why not? I did night guard for like 5 days. I told them, sorry, sir. Me le shemo. Me le shemo. I cannot come and kill myself. I told you, I have sold rice, as big as I am. I have sold rice at Elele Motor Park. Thank God there is a witness, my friend, Brother Tunde, Pastor Tunde Israel. I will cook the stew. I've told you before now. My friend will prepare rice. My stew, very, 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 very. I was telling my wife, oh, my wife will say, I don't start now. I told her, I said, let's do rice. Let me prepare stew so that I can bring it to church and serve. He was looking at me. Agent she rice, and she stew. King wife and woman back, we'll test here. You know, my wife loves me so much. Doesn't like me spending money. So a man who cannot provide for his household, the scripture said he is worse than an infidel. There is something you can do. Don't tell me there is nothing. It's just a sign of laziness. There is no legitimate work that is a disgrace. The disgrace is idleness. You see a man wake up in the morning and he's tying a wrapper. Oh, then. And the wife is running around. Poor woman running around. Now, let me say some women. Listen to me. If you're a woman here and you are a full-time housewife, I pity for you. I don't subscribe to a full-time housewife. Go and look for something to do. Over a bra, ombre lo wo ko e. Over a pata. One day your husband will spark. It's normal. A kilo de lo. Over pa mini. Oh, there is not too much money. But you have 500, but you have 1,000. It's not as if he doesn't want to keep on. Some women, you just stay in the house and you are doing full time. Full time what? Come and join full time pastor. You full time waiting. Go and look for something to do. Go and sell. Put pure water in front of your house and be selling. I remember I helped my mother to sell tomatoes. I will go to Shasha. I've done so many things, my God. I will go to Shasha. I will go and buy tomatoes when she travels. I will help her to continue the business. I will go and buy tomato, buy pepper. I will come spray it on the table, put in front of our house, and people are coming to buy. And when tomato was going, we entered granite. We'll boil, we'll cook, and I will help her carry it, and then we'll sell. When I was schooling, apart from, say, I'm going to school, I still do business. I will buy chewing gum, these packs, chewing gum, and I will be selling school. My money, I will do, and you are a student, and you say you are waiting for your parents to, you, and they are giving you pocket money. What are you doing with it? If you write a charge card at the data. You know, look for something. You know, go buy clipper for your school. Find people that you'll be doing their hair. Before you say Jack Ron, you might even open a barbing shop before you finish your school and you are making money. Idleness, people are lazy, especially Christians. And I say to people that when you are looking for a bricklayer, it is unbeliever you see most of the time. You are looking for who is a carpenter, it is the unbeliever you see most of the time. They are more than the believers. Christians are idle. If you tell a Christian that go and learn carpentry, will say, Allah majesty. Do you know that the people who are well paid outside of Nigeria, do you know there are all these carpenters, plumbers, they are making more money than all these, what do you call it, that you are going to wash people bum-bum and they are making more money. Christians, and you want rest. And every time you are looking for who will give you. One day they will insult you. Because the person you are asking, give me. You are not the only one that is asking him, give me. There are several people asking, give me. He too, he will be bored. It will become a burden on him. You go and look for something to do and start giving. You want rest. And you are idle, you are lazy. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Proverbs 10:5. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. NIV says, he that gathers crops in summer is prudent son. NIV is a prudent son. But he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. People are doing harvest. They are harvesting and you are sleeping. Why? Because you didn't do anything. The scripture says you are a disgraceful son. That's what the Bible says. So staying idle and doing nothing is a disgrace. Some spouses are just lazy. You are lazy. And it's telling on your wife. It's telling on your husband. You are just lazy. Please find something to do and take care of your responsibilities. You are a woman, you are a wife, you are not doing anything. One day you will suffer shame. Your husband will shamify you. You know, it's not a good English. But I use it because it's not even good for you to be there and you're not doing anything. Let me take one scripture and then I close. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs 12, 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Tribute means slave, right? So don't be a slave. Slaves don't rest. Bow down your heads in prayer.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday, Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.
Your left.